Krishna Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Malati Devi. What Malati Devi has shared with us is very much the spirit and the power that brought the path of bhakti to the world and to each of our hearts. Srila Prabhupada, we learn from such narrations because he gave in such a totally selfless, compassionate spirit. He conquered people's hearts, and they wanted to do anything and everything to assist him. I have heard some recordings of Srila Prabhupada here in Bombay, where he was speaking to some very wealthy industrialist people. And he was saying, really, what is bhakti? Very humbly, honestly, he told that he left India with 40 rupees, which at that time was equivalent to $7. But he couldn't exchange it, because in those days no one heard of a rupee. No one wanted a rupee in the Western world. Some years later, when he returned to India, he still had the same 40 rupees. 38 days on a cargo ship. When he arrived in Boston Harbor on that foggy day that Malati Devi was telling us about, he signed a letter to Krishna, a beautiful prayer. Your insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So he was explaining like this. When he came to the Western world, America, which at that time was the wealthiest country on the planet, hardly any Indians were in America. The first Indian I ever met in my life was at the border of India. And it was not a very good experience. He was in a very strange land. And all of his followers, most of them were coming from middle class upper class families. By Indian standards, most of the families of those followers of Prabhupada were tremendously wealthy in those days. And Srila Prabhupada had nothing material to give them. He was living in the Bowery, a ghetto of New York. He had nothing material. His Holiness Mukunda Maharaj and his then wife Janaki Devi, they arranged for Prabhupada to get a little storefront on Second Avenue in the Lower East Side, because he had no place to live. He had nothing. He was 70 years old. He was just giving Krishna, giving Krishna, and giving Krishna. He was glowing with Krishna's grace. And it manifested through his words, through his glance, through his smile, through his gestures. He had nothing else but Krishna. He was telling these industrialists in Bombay, I started like that. I was a beggar who hardly knew their language. An old man, and now they are doing anything for me. Opening centers, building temples. I'm not good with numbers, but Prabhupada told these people what the expenditures were every day in his society. So many lakhs of rupees, he said, we are spending every day. And hundreds of people, young, wealthy American families, will do anything for me. They were impressed, because usually to start a business, you need some initial investment to grow. And Prabhupada was doing so much for so many people, so many centers, so many temples, so many books. And what was his investment? Malati Devi told us. He simply repeated the words of his Gurudev with total faith and with total compassion for all of us. And that inspired the devotees to leave their beautiful homes and sleep on the floor with 15 other people on the same floor in the winter with no heat. And the winter in New York is pretty cold, snow, way below zero Celsius style. Eating off little pieces of plastic. They would just have plastic paper they used for plates. They couldn't afford plates. And they were happy. Not only happy, they were in ecstasy. So happy that anyone who saw them wanted to do whatever they were doing. And after just a couple years, every temple that was opening was overflowing with devotees in America and Europe. Prabhupada had nothing material to give them. But he gave them Krishna's love. He gave them his compassion. And everyone understood there is nothing more valuable. There is no greater treasure than this. They were willing to give everything and anything to receive it. And they did. Srila Prabhupada said that Malati Devi was willing to die for him and he was willing to die for her. And he meant that literally, because it was true. And although Malati Devi is saying he meant that for all of us, he did, but he especially meant it for her. He was willing to do that for all of us. That is true. He was willing. But the question is, are we willing to do it for him like Malati Devi was? And is. while I was in Sri Mayapur Dham, I received news that two of our very beloved devotees from our congregation passed away from this world. I would like to say something about them. Bhakti Rasa Mataji, who can understand what a personality she is. She is the mother of Mahaprabhu Prabhu, the mother-in-law of Palika Devi, mother of Rohini Nandan Prabhu, and mother-in-law of Devi Priya Devi, grandmother of Shamadasi, Giri Govardhan Prabhu, Brinda Manjari Devi, and Baladev, and many others also. And from Mahaprabhu, by his inspiration, Sahadev Prabhu, Radha Krishna Prabhu, and so many others came to the path of bhakti. By Satchidananda Prabhu, and through him, people like Devamrita Prabhu, Ananda Brindavan Prabhu, Yudhisthira Prabhu, Sri Gauranga Prabhu. And from them, people like Gauranga Prabhu, Radhisham Prabhu. So a lot has come from Bhakti Ras Mataji. It's kind of like the mother of the universe. So gracious, so devotional. And I believe, you know, her natural devotion, although through her son Mahaprabhu it was very crystallized and focused, you know, to pure bhakti and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But her spirit of devotion, her spirit of religious, genuine religious feeling is very much a foundation that made Mahaprabhu so receptive in Rohini Nandan. She lived to see all of this, generations of great devotees, through the ups, through the downs, which naturally come in life. And in her 90s, with her relatives, her children, grandchildren, chanting the holy names around her in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, Krishna took her. His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, who was also somewhere around his 90s, great saint, Prabhupada follower, Sanskrit scholar, incredible scholar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He hated hospitals. He would never allow his devotees to bring him to a hospital. Even in emergencies, he was very reluctant. He ordered them, don't bring me to any hospital. But then he came to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. He said, this is not a hospital. This is a holy place. And he was in a holy place. He was in a holy place, and when it was understood that he was going to die very soon, not die, but he was going to leave this world, there was no turning back, he told his disciples, I want to leave my body in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, because that is Vrindavan, that is a holy place. So Bhakti Ras Devi, she departed surrounded by devotees chanting the holy name in a holy place. And with the tears of our gratitude and love for her, we take a moment to pray to Krishna to shower his infinite blessings upon her. In Krishna consciousness, the society Prabhupada has attracted is so full of variegatedness. One day, a 90-some-year-old great-grandmother left us. And then there was a brahmachari who was probably in his 31 years old, young brahmachari, from the village of Nigri, the town of Nigri, actually. And he became a brahmachari, very enthusiastic, very devoted, loved to serve, loved to chant. And the test of a person's real qualities of devotion is often when there's difficulties. He was diagnosed with a terrible, ferocious form of cancer. And he would die very soon. But from the moment he got the news, throughout, he was blissful. Never complained. He was just happy that he was Krishna conscious, happy with everything he had in his life. Very simple person. And whenever I would come to Bhaktivedanta Hospital to see him, he was always smiling. He was very much like Stoka Krishna Prabhu. Always smiling, always happy, just wanting to hear about Krishna, wanting to talk about Krishna, wanting to hear the holy names. He was one of the happiest people I ever met, even when he was at the last stages of cancer. It was quite incredible. He was absolutely detached. He used to tell me, I don't care if I die. Doesn't matter. I'm eternal. All I care about is that I'm serving. That's what he would say to me, and he meant it. When I was in Mayapur, I was told that he only had some hours to live. So I spoke to him on the phone. And he sounded so blissful. He kept saying, thank you, Maharaj, thank you, thank you. And everything I'd say, he would go, you know, such a blissful voice, he would blurt out, Jai! I'd say, Rohini Tanaya, I'm just so grateful for your life of devotion. And he'd say, Jai, thank you. I said, Krishna's with you, have no fear. He said, Jai, thank you. And they told me he only had hours to live. He was aggressively in the state of active dying, medically. And everything I said to him, he was fully conscious. He answered the same way, Jai, thank you. But he screamed it in the phone. It wasn't a whisper. He was blissful. And I was told that he told the devotees his last wish was he could see the new temple in Nigri, because that's where Krishna attracted his heart, and that's where he dedicated his life to service. And the deities are about to be installed there in just a couple weeks. He wanted to go to the Nigri temple, the place where Krishna captured his heart, the place where he served Krishna. and Prabhupada. And devotees were saying, no, no, you can't survive driving. It's about 2.5-3 hours drive. And meanwhile, the devotees were there, and my very dear worshipable God sister, Yamuna Devi Prabhu, she came down from her room in the hospital to meet him. And Govinda Prabhu was telling me that he was laying in his back on his bed in a state of active dying where everything in the body is shutting down. Very traumatic situation. He couldn't talk then, hardly. This is after I spoke to him. And he was telling the devotees he wanted to come down off his bed. But he couldn't speak it. He was just like motioning and trying to say, I want to come down. They were saying, no, you can't come down. Everything in your body is finished. You can't come down. You have to stay in your bed. And he was insisting, demanding that he wanted to come down from his bed. And the reason? Because our worshipable God sister, Yamuna Devi, was sitting on a chair that was lower level than his bed. And he couldn't tolerate being on a higher level than such a dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He was not only willing, he was insisting whatever pain, even if it meant his death, he had to offer proper honor and respect to her. And soon after that, he really wanted to go to Nigri. So it is, even whatever, the devotees had to fulfill his wish. So they put him in the vehicle and drove to Nigri. And all the devotees that he came to Krishna consciousness with, that he served with, they were all there waiting for him. And he entered the temple room in front of the deities. And devotees had a big, beautiful kirtan, and he was having the darshan, and all the fulfillment of his, he was just so happy. And there was the evening arti was happening. About an hour passed in the temple with all of his beloved God brothers, God sisters, well wishers, chanting the holy names. Krishna took him. Such a beautiful departure. Malati Devi told us. Srila Prabhupada said, she's willing to die for me, and I'm willing to die for her. And this also means she's willing to live for me, and I'm willing to live for her. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, that Vaishnavas die to live and live to spread the holy name around. In the Bhakti Ratnakar by Narahari Chakravarti, he tells a story of Raghava Pandit giving a tour of Vrindavan to Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya. They're doing a whole parikrama. And he's explaining each place. It It's all documented. And they came to one quite lonely part called Nandagat, in a very secluded part of Brajbhumi on the bank of Yamuna River. And they came to a little hut of leaves. And he told the story that Jiva Goswami lived here. And then he told why. One, just a few days after Jiva Goswami came to Vrindavan for the first time, in a very quiet place in the town, in the village of Vrindavan, he was with his uncle Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami was writing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It was a very hot day. Jiva Goswami was standing at his side with a fan of leaves, fanning his Gurudev, Rupa Goswami, to relieve him of the heat. At that time, one very, very advanced, powerful, empowered Vaishnav scholar, he came to meet them. And he saw Rupa Goswami writing. He said, "Can I see your Mangala Charana?" Rupa Goswami showed it to him. He said, I will edit this for you." Rupa Goswami was so grateful. He said, "Yes, please edit it for me." So he took the document, or the manuscript, and went to the bank of the Yamuna. Meanwhile, Jiva Goswami, he said to Rupa Goswami, "I want to get some water from you from the Yamuna." So he went there, and he met this great Vaishnav scholar. He said, "Why do you want to edit this book? What's wrong with it?" He said, "In the Mangala Charana, look, it says like this, this, this. I can improve it like this, this, and this." And Jiva Goswami said, "It doesn't require improvement." And he explained the reasons. When this great scholar heard Jiva Goswami's explanation, he was thinking, "This person is brilliant." So immediately he got up, brought the manuscript back to Rupa Goswami, and said, "This manuscript doesn't need any editing. And who is that young boy? Who is that young man?" Rupa Goswami said, "He's my nephew. He just a few days ago came from our village." He said, "He's a tremendous scholar. He's brilliant. He's so devoted." And then he left. A few minutes later, Jiva Goswami came back to the tree that Jiva Goswami was sitting under. And Rupa Goswami asked him, "What happened?" "He was going to edit my book, and he came and brought it back. What did you say to him?" And Jiva Goswami explained very humbly. Rupa Goswami, with a soft voice, he chastised Jiva Goswami. He said, "He's a great Vaishnav. Out of love for me, he wanted to do some seva and edit my book. And because you have no proper patience, you didn't appreciate that. Vrindavan is not for a person who has any kind of pride. You should leave Vrindavan, you should go home, and only return when you learn the art of patience." Jiva Goswami took this very seriously. Started walking home. Home is in Bengal. It's about 1,000 kilometers away. But on his way, came to Nandagat. And there he decided he should do tapasya to atone. So when Sanatana Goswami heard, he understood this must be Jiva Goswami. So he went to this little hut of leaves, and there he walked in, and when Jiva Goswami saw him, Jiva Goswami, with great humility, he was so weak, he was emaciated thin. He offered his dandavats and took the dust from the feet of Sanatana Goswami. He said, "What are you doing here?" And Jiva Goswami told him, "Because of my pride, I offended a Vaishnava. And therefore, Rupa Goswami told me I had to leave until I gave it up. And I'm praying, I'm crying out to Krishna to take that pride away from me." So Sanatana Goswami went back to Vrindavan village and told Rupa Goswami everything. He said, "Our nephew Jiva Goswami, he is so physically weak, I have seen. Even if a gentle breeze comes off the Yamuna, his whole body shakes." So Rupa Goswami walked all the way there, many, many miles, to Nandagat, and saw his nephew and his disciple, and personally brought him back to Vrindavan. And everyone in Vrindavan was so happy to see Jiva Goswami's back. Rupa Goswami personally nursed him back to good health by preparing nice prasad and giving him nice herbs and whatever else to make him healthy and happy. And sometime later, a Digvijay Pandit, great scholar who was challenging others in debate, because in those days the great sport of India was debate. In the ancient scriptures you will not read anything about cricket. Just read about debate. And this man was a champion debater in scripture. And he challenged Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami said, "You are more learned than me. There's no use in debating me. You win." He said, "Well, if actually you are admitting defeat from me, then you must sign my Jaya Patri, which is a certificate, an official certificate, where you have to write, 'I have been officially defeated by the Digvijay Pandit.'" So Rupa Goswami signed it, that the Digvijay Pandit has defeated me in debate. And he sent it back to the Digvijay Pandit. And when the Pandit saw that Jiva Goswami actually wrote that, he was so humble, so humble. Just by seeing the handwriting of Jiva Goswami admitting defeat, his heart completely transformed. And he tore up the certificate and ran to Jiva Goswami and fell at his feet and said, "You have defeated me. I surrender to you." So this is the transformation. So it is this type of culture of taking shelter with humility, patience, devotion, that is the very foundation of bhakti. And it is in this spirit that we can attain all spiritual fortune of prema, bhakti, when we chant the holy name. To be willing to live and to die for Prabhupada and Krishna. And to know that Krishna reciprocates millions and millions of times over. That is the highest of all truths. Krishna's love for his devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said about his great devotee Haridas Thakur that I am a prisoner in the heart of my devotee. And there's no greater place the Lord would rather be. Thank you very much. And we will have kirtan now. There are some special guests. So many. It's hard to say all of them. But we have Abhay Prabhu. Can you stand up, please? Where is Abhay Prabhu? Abhay Prabhu is one of the leading most devotees from Bhaktivedanta Matter. He also travels throughout Russia, Siberia, sharing the great message of bhakti with the world. And this year, he will be taking the vows of a sannyasi. Let us welcome him to Radha Gopinath Temple. And we have one of my very, very dear godbrothers, Hare Krishna Prabhu. We were brahmacharis together in 1972. And everyone has their way of expressing their bhakti. Somehow or other, I ended up like this, and he ended up with beautiful children who are my very dearest friends. We have Baladev Prabhu, who was born in Prabhupada's loving service, and Sarada Sarita, who is in the heavenly regions up there, who is the daughter and son of Hare Krishna Prabhu, and my god sister Marut Devi and Astasaki mothers, and Baladev's good wife Joyce, who is like a goddess of gracious good qualities, and Lima, yes?
Liam.
Who is their very dear friend. Could all of you stand up? Don't fall down now. I'm so grateful they are here. Let us welcome them to Radha Gopinath. And we have three yoga students from Los Angeles, Atmananda Prabhu. Could all of you stand up? They have come to spend so many days with us here, and they're going to go to some holy places in India. We're so grateful that you're here with us. We pray that you are showered with enlightenment and grace wherever you may go. Let us welcome them. Seeing another son of one of my dear godbrothers. You all remember Trinakarta Prabhu. He's come here many, many times. His eldest son, Yudhisthira Prabhu. Wonderful, wonderful devotee. Not only was he born within our society of devotion, but like these others, have so much imbibed the real spirit of bhakti. Can you stand up, Yudhisthira? And between Yudhisthira Prabhu and Baladev Prabhu, we have two of the best mridanga players in Lord Brahma's creation. Let us welcome them. And of course, we have our resident goddess Nartaki Devi. I can't welcome you because you're here much more than me. Sometimes things don't make sense, but let us welcome Nartaki Devi. And in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, we have Giridhari Swami Maharaj, Yamuna Devi Prabhu, Dinatarani Devi Prabhu. If they're listening on this broadcast, let us very loudly, so that they don't even have to hear the broadcast, let us welcome them to... Sukavaha Mataji is also in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So we will perform kirtan. Thank you. Shri Krishna Chaitanya.